Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Before we do get started, I do want to thank those who participated in our listener support campaign. I particularly want to thank Brian, who sent in a donation. Thanks so much for your support. You can still support the show, support.greatdetectives.net, or become one of our Patreon supporters, patreon.greatdetectives.net. And if we reach $600 in monthly pledges, we'll do a special summer podcast series. You can support that at patreon.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it's time for today's episode of Michael Shane. The original air date is September the 10th of 1945.
The Adventures of Michael Shane, Private Detective. The people who make the new 76 gasoline and Triton Motor Oil, Union Oil Company, present The Adventures of Michael Shane, Private Detective, starring Wally Mayer and Kathy Lewis. There may be many drawbacks to the life of a private detective, but boredom is not among them. At least not for Mike Shane. This evening is no exception. At this moment, Mike and his fetching associate, Phyllis Knight, are hurrying through the entrance hall of one of the luxurious homes of San Francisco's Marina District. And the reason for their haste? A hurry-up call from the inspector of homicide himself.
Mike? Well, you sure got here on the double.
Oh, you asked us to, Inspector.
And just why you ask us is still a mystery.
Because, Mike, I wanted to learn what you know about John N. Crowder.
John N. Crowder? I never heard of him.
You didn't? How about you, Phil?
The only Crowder I know is the kid who sat behind me in seventh grade, and his name was Wilbur.
Okay, I want to show you kid something. The body is in that room there, but we'll get to that later.
Whose body?
What body?
John N. Crowder's body. This is his home. He's been murdered.
Well, people all dressed up as if it were a party,
It was a party, Phil. Mike, you see this telephone stand here and that scratch pad beside the phone?
Oh, I see what's bothering you.
Yeah, and that scratch pad is your phone number.
I can't explain it, Inspector. Crowder didn't phone me. All my calls the past couple of days have been from people I know.
That doesn't look like a man's handwriting to me. Did Mr. Crowder have a wife?
He was a bachelor, Phil. Just a minute. Miss Whitcomb?
Yes?
Miss Whitcomb, this is Mr. Shane and Miss Knight. Janet Whitcomb is Mr. Crowder's ward.
How do you do?
Oh, I'm glad to know you, Miss Whitcomb. Do you happen to know how this phone number, my phone number, got on the scratch pad?
Why, yes. Uncle John, that's what I called Mr. Crowder, was looking through the classified directory this afternoon. He asked me to jot down that number.
Did he tell you why he wanted it? Why he wanted to call a private detective?
A private detective?
Uh-huh.
No, he didn't.
Well, what about the murder itself? Anybody know what happened?
As I've gotten the story, Mike, they were having a party tonight. At 8 o'clock, before most of the guests arrived, Mr. Crowder excused himself and went into the library to listen to the radio.
Uncle John always insisted on listening to this one broadcast, the Days of 49. So when we heard several gunshots, we just thought they were part of the radio show.
Several gunshots?
Yeah, Mike, but one of them was the real thing.
Who found the body?
Miss Whitcomb here.
Well, when the program was over, he didn't come out of the library. I went to call him. I opened the door. Oh, why? Why? How could anybody?
Please, you mustn't. You've been so brave through all of this.
This is Lee Strayhorn, her fiancée.
Uh-huh. And the other gentleman?
Richard Russell, madam.
Where are the other guests?
There aren't any. I told the sergeant to turn the others away at the front door.
Was this radio program Mr. Crowder listened to a 15-minute or half-hour show?
15 minutes.
And after Mr. Crowder went into the library to listen to it, where were you three people?
Well, I hadn't gotten here yet, Mr. Shane. When I walked in, I found Janet in hysterics, and Charlie Lung, the houseboy, was trying to quiet her.
Mm-hmm.
Janet is a high-strung girl, and well, at first I thought she was upset about something she'd spilled on her dress. Then I saw Mr. Crowder, and I took one look and telephoned the police.
As for me, gentlemen, I was here in the living room talking to Oliver. Oliver left, and then in a few minutes I heard Janet shriek.
Who is Oliver? Another servant?
No. Mr. Oliver is one of Mr. Crowder's clients. Mr. Crowder was an investment counselor, and he handled Mr. Oliver's stocks and bonds for him.
Nobody told me about Oliver before. I didn't know anybody had left the house.
I guess you'd better round him up, Inspector. And now, how about you, Miss Whitcomb? Where were you while Mr. Crowder was listening to the radio?
I was upstairs. I'd spilled something on my dress and was cleaning it. When I came downstairs, the program was over.
What about the servants?
I checked, Phil. They were all in the kitchen or the butler's pantry or the dining room.
Oh. Did Mr. Crowder have any known enemies?
Oh, no.
Inspector, I'm sure I never talked to a John N. Crowder. So how about letting me have a look at the bottle?
I was just going to suggest it, Mike.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. A couple of chairs overturned, the drapery pulled down. There must have been quite a fight.
Which makes me doubt these people when they say that they heard nothing unusual. Oh, the body's on the other side of the desk, Mike.
Oh. Man about 50. No, Inspector, no, I've never seen this man before.
Shot through the heart. Well, the gun was fired at close range, Mike, if those powder burns on his shirt mean anything.
I've found one interesting clue.
Huh?
I've kept my mouth shut about it so far. Take a look at this blood on the rug.
Mm-hmm. Right in the middle of the blood, a spot of clean rug.
Mm-hmm.
In the shape of a dollar mark.
I know what that is.
Yeah?
It was made by one of those money clips. You know, Mike, you carry one in your pocket for dollar bills.
Yeah, the killer dropped it and then picked it up in order not to leave a clue. Or so he thought.
Well, I'm still wondering, why did Crowder have my phone number? Why did he want to call me?
And when he had the number, why didn't he call you? They said Crowder had no enemies, yet somebody must have had a motive to kill him.
Just a minute, Inspector. Maybe I can give you a hint.
Yeah, Mike? What?
Look around the room very carefully.
Well, what about it? Oh, you mean those two overturned chairs?
The walls, Inspector. The paintings on the walls. A painting of Carmel by the Sea in particular.
You're right, Mike. The painting is crooked.
Not only crooked, but it stands out from the wall.
Yes, and I'll bet behind the painting there's a wall safe.
Well, I'll push the painting to one side. So, and there we are.
It's unlocked.
Now, let's see what's inside the safe, if anything.
Kids, this desk lamp is the only light in the room, isn't it?
Huh?
Yeah?
Yeah, why?
Because I'm going to turn it out. Somebody is about to come in through that French window.
We'll return to the adventures of Michael Shane in just a moment. If you like to feel your car surge ahead with quick power when you press down on the accelerator, try using the new 76 gasoline. You'll find that with a tank full of the new 76, your car will respond instantly to the throttle, take hills with the easy lift of a soaring bird. That's because the new 76 is power-packed with components of 100-octane gasoline, the fighting fuel Union Oil Company refineries produce for the Air Forces. Furthermore, the new post-war 76 has been blended under scientific control to produce a fuel which will give you the full horsepower of your engine regardless of make. It's no wonder motorists are saying that old cars perform like new with 76. So try a tank full of this powerful post-war gasoline and then watch the way your car surges ahead with new life and power. You can get the powerful new 76 gasoline at any Union Oil Minuteman station. Just look for the sign of the big orange and blue 76. And while you're in, ask the Minuteman for your Union Oil credit card application. On the library floor lies the murdered body of John Crowder. And on the sun porch outside, Phyllis has seen a prowler. Mike and the inspector step to the French window. And then suddenly...
All right, mister, hands in the air.
What in place?
Come here, come inside.
That's what I've been trying to do. The police at the front door wouldn't let me in.
Okay, turn on the light, Phil.
All right, now, who are you and why the peeping Tom act?
I was not peeping. I came around the side of the house to see if someone would let me in. That flat foot at the front door said Crowder had been murdered.
There's the evidence on the floor.
Yeah. Shot through the heart. Blood on the carpet. Who did it?
That's what we're trying to find out. And also your name.
Oliver, see? Bert Oliver.
Oh, you're the man who was here earlier. Why'd you leave the house?
Why not? No murder had been committed then. I walked across the street to my house.
Well, Mr. Oliver, why did you go home?
Because I forgot my present for Janet.
And when did you last see Mr. Crowder alive?
He came into the library to listen to a radio program. I was talking to that social butterfly, Richard Russell. I stepped into the library here for a moment, finished some business with Crowder, and then left.
What kind of business?
Investment business, stocks, bonds. Do I have to draw a diagram for you?
When you were talking with Mr. Crowder, was the radio on?
Full blast.
And when you came back, the sergeant wouldn't let you in the house, so you came around onto the porch.
Yes, 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 I already said that.
Why were you so anxious to get inside, Mr. Oliver? People generally give a murder a wide berth.
Oh, for Pete's sake, I'm a good friend of Crowder and Janet. I wanted to help her.
Why should Janet need your help?
Because she won't get any from that fiancé of hers. That's reason enough. Crowder should have stuck by his guns. He should have forbidden the marriage.
Inspector, I think we should ask Mr. Oliver to relax in the other room for a while and let us talk to Janet.
Right. If you please, Mr. Oliver. Miss Whitcomb, would you step in here a moment, please?
Oh, Mr. Oliver.
Don't let them frighten you, Janet.
You wanted something?
Just a small point, Miss Whitcomb. Now, Mr. Crowder was to be your guardian, I believe, until you are 21?
Yes.
I suppose that means you have some money?
From my parents.
Was it very much?
Several $100,000.
Mm-hmm. And you were having some trouble with Mr. Crowder?
About your money?
Oh, no, not that. He was a fine man. He was perfectly honest. He had money of his own.
Then you didn't get Mr. Shane's telephone number from the directory yourself?
Oh, no, no.
But you were having trouble with Mr. Crowder.
There's no need to be frightened, Miss Whitcomb.
Uncle John didn't understand. He wouldn't understand.
Now, please, Miss Whitcomb.
Now, wait a minute, fellas. You told Oliver to go in the other room and relax. Now, suppose you sit down and relax a while. I'll talk to Janet.
He's dead. What does it matter now?
We're just trying to help you, Janet. The more we know about Mr. Crowder, the easier it may be for us to find his murderer. Now, you can see that, can't you?
Yes.
Of course you can. Now, you were having some difficulty with your guardian. You can tell me what it was.
Uncle Johnny didn't want me to marry Lee. He said Lee was no good. I told him he was wrong. I told him I wouldn't let him run my life any longer. I'd leave home. I love Lee, and he loves me. I'm going to marry him. Nobody can stop me now. Nobody.
How long have you been engaged to Lee?
2 weeks. Uncle Johnny was mad about it, but he never said another word about Lee.
Mm-hmm. And that's all the trouble you ever had with Mr. Crowder.
Yes. Can I go now?
I guess so, Miss Whitcomb. Thank you.
Well, what do you think, kids?
I don't know, Phil. The girl is so dramatic about everything. If Crowder didn't make an objection to the marriage for the past 2 weeks, I don't see why she's so excited.
Uh-huh. Well, before we have another interruption, I want to examine that wall safe. Safe is hardly as big as the inside of a hat box.
One small tin box. Empty.
One packet of currency marked $2,500.
Oh, that's odd. It was burglary. Why did the killer leave the money?
Well, he might have been scared off before he saw it or even overlooked it in his hurry.
Yeah, but we don't know what was in the safe originally, Mike. We can't tell what was stolen.
If Crowder was a good businessman, he must have kept an inventory of its contents.
And if he was a cautious businessman, he would not keep the inventory right inside the safe.
No. How about this desk here?
Inspector.
Huh? Oh, what is it, Mr. Russell?
I noticed that Janet is very upset. I thought maybe I ought to tell you that she used to quarrel with Crowder all the time. He didn't want her to get married.
Yes, Janet told us all about it, Mr. Russell.
Oh, well, I just thought you'd like to know. Find anything in the desk?
Mr. Russell, we're very busy, so if you don't mind...
Oh, all right. I just thought you'd like to know.
Oh, it's a nosy character.
Well, here we are, Inspector. The inventory to the safe.
Swell, Mike.
Let's see now. Cash, $2,500. Well, that checks. Then one package, Charlie Lung.
The houseboy.
Yeah, but no findy package. Next, $21,000 bonds. PM and ORR.
Abbreviation for railroad bonds, probably.
Yeah, and said bonds are also missing. Now, the last person known to have been in this library with Crowder was Mr. Oliver.
Mm. Yes, Oliver said he had some business with Crowder about stocks and bonds.
After which Oliver walked across the street to his house.
If he paid Crowder for those bonds, I didn't find the check in the safe.
And I searched Crowder's body. He had just a small amount of money in his wallet. Mike. You know what we're
going to
do?
Yes, Inspector. We're going across the street and search Mr. Oliver's house for those bonds.
Mike.
Yes, Inspector.
I've looked all through Oliver's desk. You find anything?
No luck. I searched the whole living room. I thought there might be another wall safe.
And I checked upstairs. If Mr. Oliver's servants were home tonight, we might get them to tell us where he keeps his valuables.
Mike, you think Oliver would still be carrying those bonds on him?
Oh, it'd be pretty risky.
Uh-oh. Hey, do we dare answer it?
I'll take a gamble.
Hello?
Hello. Oliver speaking. Is this the inspector, Mr. Shane?
Well, it's Shane, Mr. Oliver. How did you know we were here?
Russell saw you. You're looking for those bonds.
Well, we were just checking.
You haven't found the bonds yet. I tucked them in Webster's Unabridged Dictionary. It's on the table, right behind the phone.
Dictionary on the table. Yeah. Mr. Oliver, those bonds belong to Mr. Crowder. How did you
I bought them tonight. I told you I had business with Crowder.
You didn't give him a check in payment?
Of course I didn't give him a check. Crowder always sends me a monthly statement. My credit is A1. When you leave the house, please turn off the lights.
Well, how do you like that? Russell saw us come in here.
Oliver hid the bonds inside the dictionary?
Yeah, Phil, here they are.
Oliver was so straightforward about it all. Yet he might be trying to beat us to the punch.
Yeah.
Now what? I'll talk to him this time, Mike. Inspector speaking.
Inspector, this is the sergeant. They told me I could reach you at this number.
Yeah? What is it, Sergeant?
That Chinese houseboy, sir.
Uh-huh.
I saw him sneak out of the house. I trailed him clear down to a shop in Chinatown. He's up to something.
Oh? Where are you now?
In the Chop Suey place on Grant Avenue. I can watch the shop from here.
Okay, Sergeant. Keep your eye on it. We'll meet you there in 10 minutes.
I followed him into this building, Inspector, and up those stairs to the second floor.
And then where?
He went in the first door at the top of the stairs.
Please, Angel, watch those heels. You sound like a dray horse going up a ladder.
Don't be personal, Mr. Shane.
Oh,
there. That's the door right ahead, sir.
Shh. The transom's open. Listen.
Talking Chinese.
Think we better knock, Mike?
Will you come in, gentlemen, and miss? Listening through closed door is like cotton in one's ear.
Well, you see, we were just...
I am Yin Hao, dealer in Oriental imports. I believe you already know my friend, Mr. Charlie Lung.
Yes, we wanted to talk to him.
Obviously. That is why you followed him from Mr. Crowder's.
As Inspector of Homicide, I gave orders that no one was to leave that house. Yet Charlie Lung sneaks off.
Why did you run away, Charlie? Please, Charlie.
My friend, Charlie Lung, came to me with a problem of ethics, a delicate matter of conflicting loyalties.
So?
Mr. Lung is in possession of an object. You of the police would call it a clue.
I see.
His problem is whether to produce the clue or to hide it.
He'd better produce it or I'll have to arrest him.
Even the honest man casts a crooked shadow. Unhappily, Mr. Lung tells me the object belongs to Miss Whitcomb. You can, of course, appreciate his distress.
If Miss Whitcomb is innocent, I promise no harm will come to her.
Why, yes, this clue may solve the whole murder.
My friend Mr. Lung say that upon the basis of your promise that no harm will come to Miss Whitcomb, I may give you the object. It is this.
A silver money clip. The dollar mark.
Charlie, where did you find it?
Oh, after Missy Cly, I find it on the floor in the blood. I take it. Now, what you do?
We're going back to the house and talk to Miss Whitcomb.
And you, Mr. Lung, are coming with us.
I'm sorry, Inspector, but I just had to lie down for a while.
I
don't feel at all well.
She really is sick. I've been sitting here in the bedroom talking to her.
Lee, would you mind stepping outside? We have something we'd like to show Janet in private.
Well, yes, of course.
Janet, do you own a silver money clip?
The sort you carry in your purse to hold dollar bills, Janet.
Yes.
Is this it?
Why, I must have dropped it.
Janet, Charlie Lung, the houseboy, found it beside Mr. Crowder's body in a pool of blood.
Oh, no. No, it can't be.
Now, Janet.
I didn't have my purse with me. What are you trying to do to me?
Inspector.
Yeah?
Mr. Shane.
Yes?
Could you come here a moment?
Why, certainly.
Bill, you stay here with Janet.
All right.
No, you make a mistake. It's your mind.
It's Charlie Lung.
What's wrong, Sergeant?
I caught this houseboy hiding a bundle under his mattress, sir. This bundle of money. $17,000.
Holy Harry.
It belonged to me. It's your mind.
Where would you get $17,000?
Oh, Charlie Lung, very rich man. I make a saving 15 years. I save go back by and by China to die. Mr. Crowder, he keep money in his safe for me.
Then it was you who went into his safe tonight.
No, sir.
Huh?
Me, I ask you, Mr. Crowder, for my money tonight. Mr. Crowder, go to save it, take out the money, and he give it to me.
In just a moment, we'll rejoin Mike and Phyllis in their adventures. If you have to drive in traffic very much nowadays, you've probably noticed the extra congestion on the road. Now, we don't say that driving with the new 76 gasoline will eliminate traffic problems, but we do say it'll make your driving a lot more pleasant by putting new power under your foot. Even the oldest cars step out with renewed energy when you put in the new 76. That's because the new 76 is power-packed with components of wartime aviation gasoline, the fighting fuel Union Oil Company refineries produce for their air forces. Furthermore, the new post-war 76 has been blended under scientific control to produce a fuel which will give you the full horsepower of your engine, regardless of make. It's no wonder motorists are talking about the way their cars perform with the new 76. Try a tank full of this powerful new gasoline, and then watch the way your car surges ahead with new life. You can get the new Super 76 gasoline at any Union Oil Minuteman station. Just look for the sign of the big orange and blue 76. Thank you. In answer to Janet's piercing scream and Phyllis's call for help, Mike Shane and the inspector dash into Janet's bedroom.
Phil, Janet, what's the matter?
What happened?
The window. I saw two arms reach through the window. He wanted to kill me.
Who wanted to kill you?
I don't know. I couldn't see.
Phil, did you see it?
No. I was in Janet's dressing room.
Let's check what's outside the window. Balcony. Runs the full length of the house.
Janet, was that you screaming?
Oh, Lee.
Who made it? You're alive?
What in blazes is going on in this house?
Somebody was being murdered.
Quiet, please.
Quickly now, we want to know where all of you people were during the past 3 minutes. Lee? Well,
I was in the dining room.
Mr. Oliver?
In the hall below. I was starting up the stairs when I heard the commotion.
Mr. Russell?
In the living room. Seems I am always in the living room when something happens.
And Charlie Lung was outside the door with the inspector and me. No.
Janet, you're certain that you saw somebody?
Oh, yes. I almost died of fear.
Phil, were you out of the room?
Naturally. Janet told me she was certain that the clip found in the library was not hers, that her clip was in her purse, so I was looking for her purse.
And did you find it?
Yes, it's in the dressing room.
Let's go take a look at it.
Here, this is the clip.
And comparing it with the one Charles Lung found?
Oh, it looks just the same, only a trifle smaller.
Phil?
Yeah?
Do you think Janet really saw somebody, or was she faking it?
I've been wondering myself. I don't know, Mike. If I'd been in the room with her, it wouldn't have been...
Mr. Shane.
Yes, Mr. Russell?
Oliver says he was below in the hall when the screams came. Well, I was in the living room looking out into the hall, and I didn't see him.
Perhaps not, but I did. I saw him starting up the staircase.
Oh.
You may be more helpful, Mr. Russell, if you'll return to the bedroom with us.
Gentlemen, do any of you own a silver money clip in the design of a dollar mark?
No, I've never owned one.
I'm sorry to contradict you, but one of you did own such a clip. A brand new one.
How can you make a statement like that, sir?
Because the clip which I'm holding in my hand is of highly polished silver. It has not been in contact with a loose change in a man's pocket because it bears no scratches. It is brand new.
Janet. Miss Whitcomb.
What?
Would you mind turning around, please? Oh, a little more into the light.
You mean like this?
That's it. Have you worn that same dress all evening?
Why, yes. I cleaned the spot just before I discovered Uncle John.
Mm-hmm. Inspector.
Yeah?
Angel, will you step out into the hall with me, please?
All right, Smarty. What's all the mystery?
You heard Janet earlier this evening. She said she had cleaned that dress just before finding Crowder's body.
Yeah, sure, Mike, but what about it?
What about it? Come with me.
Where?
Downstairs and outdoors. I think we'd better search one of those cars in the driveway. Not just any car, but a car.
You were right, Mike. Here it is. It was hidden under the seat.
Colt, 38 revolver. One chamber fired. Huh? That does it. All right, Inspector, I think we're ready for our murderer.
That's what I said. This gun I hold in my hand killed Mr. Crowder.
Inspector, I've never owned a gun in my life.
The same goes for me. The last time I used a gun was skeet shooting.
Very well. No one has come forward to claim his gun, so we'll give him another chance. Janet, when we were first talking to you tonight, do you remember somebody else mentioned that you had a spot on your dress?
I don't remember.
Perhaps not, but I do very distinctly.
Maybe I can refresh your memory by telling you what happened. The murderer parked his car down the street a couple of blocks. He walked here to the house, then sneaked around in back and watched the living room window.
He saw Janet spill something on her dress, and then Mr. Crowder excuse himself and go into the library to listen to his favorite radio program.
The killer knew the program would last 15 minutes. While Crowder was at the radio, the man opened the French window and sneaked up on Crowder. At the last second, Crowder discovered him. They struggled.
And in the struggle, the man's silver money clip dropped to the floor.
The man fired and Crowder fell. The killer stepped outside the French window and closed it. He ran back to his car, got in, and drove up to the house. Then, very casually, walked in the front door just after Janet had discovered the body.
But that's when Lee came in.
Yes, Janet, your fiancé. And he tried to kill you a few moments ago when he thought you were beginning to suspect him.
Don't believe him, Janet. It's crazy.
You told us that when you walked into the house, you didn't know Mr. Crowder was dead. You said you thought Janet was upset because of the spot on her dress. But Janet had already been upstairs and cleaned her dress. The spot was gone.
You saw the spot on her dress when you looked through the library window.
Why, that isn't what I said.
Oh, yes, it is, Strayhorn. We found this gun in your car with one chamber fired.
All right, arrest me. You won't get anywhere. No jury will convict me on evidence like that. The murderer planted the gun in my car.
Lee, have you ever heard of a paraffin test?
No.
Well, the police coat a man's fingers with paraffin. If he has recently fired a gun, the paraffin will show the powder marks. Are you willing to take that test? All right, Inspector. I think the look on Lee's face is proof enough.
Kids, I'm sorry my wife is down country again. She'd love to fix these eggs herself.
Well, we're sorry too, Inspector. You know, your house seems empty without
it. Yes, it certainly does. Not to change the subject, Inspector, but I've been wondering. Lee Strayhorn seemed awfully cocksure that a jury wouldn't convict him. Do you think he has a chance?
Not a chance, Phil. Tomorrow we'll check every jewelry store in town and find which one sold Lee that silver money clip. That'll cinch it.
And we can prove his motive. Mr. Crowder knew Lee was a thorough no-good. Oh, Crowder allowed Janet to become engaged to Lee, but he was going to sidetrack a marriage.
I suppose that's why Crowder had your phone number. He was going to ask you to look up Lee's background.
And Lee guessed what was in the wind. He wasn't going to let anything stop him from marrying Janet's money, not even murder.
Say, Angel.
Hmm?
Why the dreamy expression?
I was just looking out at the lights on the Golden Gate Bridge and wondering.
Oh, about what?
Wondering why Janet didn't see through Lee. Her eyes must have been blind.
Mm-hmm. When your heart's on fire, smoke gets in your eyes.
That has a special point for you, Phil.
For me?
Mm-hmm. The way you're looking at Mike right now, I'd say, clang, clang, three-alarm fire.
Oh,
why, Inspector?
Tune in again next week at 8 o'clock for another adventure with Michael Shane, Private Detective, starring Wally Mayer and Kathy Lewis, with Joe Forte as the inspector. The Chinese characters were portrayed by Charlie Lung. Tonight's story was written by Richard DeGraff and based on the character created by Brett Halliday. Music was composed and directed by Bernard Katz. This is John Lang saying goodnight for Union Oil Company and reminding you once again to get your application for your Union Oil credit card this week. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.
This is Andrea J. Graham, author of the Web Surfer series. Oh, and A Madam's Wife. You're listening to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio.
Welcome back. Well, less set up than usual before getting us to Michael Shane dealing with the dead body. But at any rate, it's time to get into listener comments and feedback, and we start with Brian, who, as he notes in his donation email, says, thanks so much for the show. Been listening and learning for many years. And he writes, regarding Michael Shane, this has become one of my new favorites. I like the radio version much better than the video version. He seems so much more personable on the radio. Well, thanks so much, Brian. Wally Mayer definitely does a good job, and definitely some people and some shows do better on the radio. Of course, this is only the first radio version, and in a few weeks we'll be turning to a very different version, and I hope you'll enjoy that as well. And we also have a couple new reviews on iTunes. We start with Tom Wynn, who says, I love the selection and presentation of old-time radio detective programs. And Jung says, real talk, this show is fire. Thank you, I think. All right, well, that will do it for today. Join us tomorrow for The Avenger, and next Monday, another episode of Michael Shane. In the meanwhile, send your comments to Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook. Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.